like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. Whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Grey Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
All right, welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm here with a band that is new to me and possibly new to a lot of people who listen to the show as well. I was looking at your Instagram page and saw a post recently about how it was the 1 year anniversary of your band being a band. So you're relatively new to the local music scene. And I think that the best way to start this off is for all of you here to introduce yourselves, what you do in the band, and then we can get into a little bit of sort of history about what the band does and what style of music you play and what you have coming up. So whoever feels like going first, introduce themselves and what you do in the band. Always fun when there's this many people in the room, but let's go for it.
Scarlett, take it away.
Hello, I'm Scarlett. Go by Scarlett Alexis in the music world. Yeah, that's me.
And what do you do in the band?
I am the singer, and we have three guitars, so we kind of drift between who plays what, part-wise. So rhythm and lead whenever, and also songwriter, I guess, but we're all kind of merging into a songwriting direction where we're working together. So.
Cool. Who wants to go next here?
Hi, I'm Emmanuel. I'm pretty familiar with your show, so this seems pretty surreal.
Well, thank you. I'm glad someone listens. Yeah.
Starstruck.
I play bass, and I guess I songwrite too.
I do a bit of everything in the band, but everyone has their own parts. But yeah, I mostly sit the bass.
Cool. Who else do we have here?
Right, I'm next. Hi, I'm Jarek. I play guitar, one out of the three. I also do a little background vocals here and there, usually some background screams, whatever fits place in the songs. And yeah, like Scarlett said, we bounce between rhythm and lead parts all the time, so we don't have like designated roles for who gets what part, but you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I'm Jonathan, better known as John to most people. Wait, is my mic working?
It is.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, okay. Right on. This is my first time using Zoom, so I'm like a knock to this kind of stuff.
So far, so good.
Yeah. But my name is John, and I play the drums.
Cool. And so I think that one of the questions that people hate answering, and I'm going to start with this because it's I think it's an important one, is how do you define the type of music you play? And the reason everyone hates this question is because there's so many subgenres and offshoots and this and that, and it's way harder to sort of determine what kind of music a band plays, unless it's sort of a straight ahead, like a country band or a hip-hop group or whatever. Even in those kind of more specific genres, there's all these, you know, offshoots as well. So if someone, you know, runs into you on the street, hears you're in a band, what's the best way that you have of a sort of a quick way to define it?
I mean, we've been pretty like set on like what we sound like.
Okay, well then, what's the closed nose version of what you sound like then? What would you describe it as?
I think we've kind of branded ourselves as like Winnipeg's J-rock band. A lot of my inspiration for writing like leads and chord progressions come from J-rock and like math rock. I like Tricod, and I've grown up watching anime. So a lot of those kind of major 70s sounds really stuck with me. Same with the leads, and Jarek nails the harmonization too on those. Like it really solidifies the like epic anime dramatic. But yeah, definitely J-rock with other influences, like a lot of us listen to similar things, but then our own things. But yeah, we've solidified ourselves as like Winnipeg J-Rock.
Is that what the rest of you agree with you? Like, is that sort of the band's own, like all of you sort of feel like that fits the sound?
I would say so. I think,
yeah.
Like if a coworker were to ask me like, oh, what kind of music do you guys play? I just kind of tell them like we make anime intros.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how I explain it.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting too, because like I when I saw that on your bio as well, I was like, what the hell is J-Rock? I mean, I listen to a lot of different kinds of music, and I as you would imagine, having done this show for as long as I have, but J-Rock is definitely not one of them. Anime is something that like my kids watch it. I have no frame of reference for it. I feel bad, you know, because you guys obviously are really into it, but it's something that's just completely over my head as a genre. I just haven't engaged with it really. So I assume the J connects to Japan in some way in the name J-Rock.
Yeah, Japanese.
So, and you said math rock too. So, I mean, math rock is maybe not what, as a non-anime person, I would have assumed has any kind of connection with what the soundtracks are for those, you know, shows and movies. So what is J-Rock for the uninitiated? Like, how would you describe it to someone who really hasn't experienced anime in any way?
So J-Rock, see, this is my simplest way of describing J-Rock. It's jazz with distortion.
Oh, cool. Okay.
That is a perfect description.
That's amazing.
That sounds great. I mean, that description sounds awesome. I wouldn't have thought, you know, again, as someone who is not connected with that whole world, I wouldn't have thought that those soundtrack for those kind of movies and shows and stuff would have that sort of element to it. So did you all get into this from the anime thing, or were you listening to some of these kinds of music that had those influences beforehand?
Well, I started Solaire because I wanted like more creative freedom with writing. I didn't want to be like stuck in just one genre, but everyone just gravitated towards this.
Okay.
So like we're all content making this type of music.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Cool.
And I think like all of us kind of come from different musical backgrounds. Like right now I'm kind of like the emo guy, I guess. I come from like a big emo background, like Scarlett obviously, like very J-Rock and math rock inspired, and like Emmett and John are both very like pop punk,
okay,
like backgrounded, and I think like they all blend together in such a beautiful way, where like I think the Venn diagram of like all of those genres, like the middle section of that Venn diagram is like it, I don't know, it comes together in a beautiful
lines
way.
Up nice, yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Then I grew up listening to like alt rock, R&B. Andrew grew up listening to like classic rock, so like we're just like an everything bagel of all genres. Andrew's our guitarist who couldn't make it today.
Right, the third guitarist, yeah. Yeah.
We're it.
So with all that in mind, did you have, I mean, I know the band's only been together for a relatively short amount of time, but have you sort of figured out where you fit within the larger Winnipeg music scene? And I ask because, you know, you're defining yourselves as Winnipeg's J-Rock band. I doubt there are many other ones. Maybe there are, but like, all these other influences you have the pop punk thing, the emo thing, the jazz elements, the math rock elements. Where do you sort of see your people, I guess, within the local music scene?
Well, we have our EP release show coming up on February 7th of this year, 2026.
Nice plug, I like it.
And like we decided to like, hey, if people watch this like a few years down the line, you have to date it. Yeah. So we specifically picked that bill because like the Ranger System and Second Floor Patients have all like expressed that they were inspired by J-Rock when it came to their music. So we wanted to like, you know, make it a J-Rock type night.
Cool.
Thank you.
Well, I guess what's the reaction been to the band in the short time you've been together?
I feel like we've really found our niche in, like, I'm really happy to say we've found our niche within the local music scene of nerds. So we have the anime people, everyone likes J-rock and stuff, and then like Rangers being definitely a more like video game focused musician.
Sure.
And like they have a great system going on, and then we have right emo nights, and we have K-pop nights, like E-Man's in Asian Glow. So I feel like we've really implanted ourselves into the nerd community, and there's a huge population in Winnipeg.
Sure.
Yeah, and it's honestly really nice seeing familiar faces every time, because we do see new faces, of course, but it's really nice to know that we have a really strong community who just loves to come out and support each other and go to everyone's shows. Yeah, I love that we found our little niche.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's great. It's great to hear. Does that give you sort of a wider potential audience outside of just sort of the main music scene? I mean, if you're appealing to that nerd crowd, there's obviously a lot of events and community and subcultures and stuff around that. Has that opened any doors for you, or do you foresee that opening doors for you in the future as far as where you could play or what kind of audiences you could play to?
Not recently. The past shows we played have been very varied up, because we can play with like heavier bands like Second Floor Patients. Then we can play with bands as chill as, say, Sunday Club.
Okay.
But our sound is pretty versatile in the sense that we could probably play most bills and we won't stand out.
Well, in a bad way. Yeah, you want to stand out in a good way, obviously. Yeah, yeah.
Stand out in a good way. We won't be the sore thumb or whatever that saying is.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Yeah, we won't feel out of place. We'll stand out in our own way, but we'll still be able to mix in with other sounds.
One of the things that happens a lot on this show is I notice it happening a lot, is I often refer to bands that are hard to define as being nebulous. And I was sort of proud of myself for not saying nebulous yet in this episode, but I kind of almost have to point it out now because that nebulosity, if that's a word, I mean, it's a good thing, right? I mean, like you're saying, you can fit in with the heavier bands, you can fit in with something that maybe isn't as conventional. And that's a good problem to have, I think, as a band, because, you know, they're often scenes within scenes that sort of stick with the same people playing together week after week after week, and that can get boring for the artists and the audience. So having that versatility, I think, is a good thing.
I feel like it also establishing that nerd brand has also led us to do things like we played at Game Fest.
Cool.
Which is another local festival thing, as well as Street Feast at the Forks, where we got to really show our sonic covers and everything, and it was really awesome. We even got asked to play at a birthday for someone who goes to my university.
Okay.
But they asked us to play at her birthday because she's a huge Sonic fan and we do Sonic covers. So they're like, hey, can you guys come and play a few songs for her birthday? So it's really given us a lot of opportunities that are outside of playing the normal bill at the local venue.
Yeah.
It's really nice. So we get to explore a lot of different places just because we're known as being pretty versatile and being able to do things like video game covers or our own stuff, or like Paramore. Paramore has also, our Soleramore set has really opened up our opportunities for us. I mean, doing three emo nights has... it's been really tiring, but also really...
Now, the first night was a Taylor Swift night.
Well, sorry. Two emo nights and one Taylor Swift where we opened up as Paramore.
Right. And that's become a big thing over in recent years, those bands as bands kind of nights where, I mean, you see them all the time where it'll be bands sort of doing a whole set as someone else. And I've seen your name show up doing the Paramore thing. So, I mean, do you feel like that's a band that really fits what you do, that you can kind of fit into their shoes fairly easily for those cover nights? Or is it a bit of a challenge to shift your sound to do those songs?
Not really. It's when we started, even before we started Solaire, I told Jarek during one of our band practices, I was like, I want to do a Paramore cover set down the line.
Yeah, this was 2 years ago, probably.
Oh, cool.
I think
Yeah.
Now we've done three already.
This is before I even joined Solaire.
Yeah. We basically manifested that Paramore cover set.
We all just really like Paramore, I think.
Yeah, well, me and Iman brought it up when we did our first show together. We're like, wait, should we like heat this band? Iman asked me like, oh, what like sound do you kind of want to do? And I was like, oh, I feel like we could maybe do like a Paramore thing. And then we're like, hey, we'll do a Paramore set maybe in the future. And we're like, yeah, that'll be years and years into the future. And then
like 6 watts later, yeah.
Does doing something like the Paramore set, I mean, obviously you've got to practice those songs and you've done it enough times now that you've played them a lot, I'm sure. Do you find that seeping into your own sound maybe more than it would have otherwise, just out of muscle memory of playing sort of that style when you're doing the cover sets? Or are you able to keep sort of your own stuff and that those sounds fairly separate?
It does certainly bleed into some of the songs I write.
Okay.
I feel like they've been pretty separate. Like, we're able to differentiate ourselves from Paramore.
Sure.
Because we tend to get very tired of Paramore after we do one of those sets. And we're like, hey, we need a break. Let's play our own stuff because it's been a while and we miss it.
Yeah.
And then as for new songwriting things, like, I really feel like we're moving into like more experimental things, but not in a Paramore sense. Like, we're really able to still let ourselves be creative in our own ways without letting that Paramore influence affect us too much.
Cool. cool. And I want to go back to what you were saying earlier about having that kind of being the nerd band that has those opportunities. Does that, I mean, lyrically, are you the nerd band as well? Or is it just because you have these influences and you're playing sort of similar songs that would be relevant to this audience? Or are you nerd band as far as the subject matter you're singing about as well?
If I'm being honest, a lot of our lyrics are just like, they're not very nerdy. A lot of our nerd vibe comes from like our stage presence.
Our stage presence and our like melodic qualities of our music. Yeah, it's mostly instrumental. The lyrics we always have very, like, they're all rooted in something we felt. Like, you can tell in all the songs that I write, it's always about somebody or myself. It's always about something in my life. Like, I have a really hard time writing about things that like don't exist.
Okay.
I need to like feel it to be able to write it down. And I know it's the similar with E-Man too. So
yep.
Cool.
We joke about it all the time, but every one of our songs is a diss track towards someone. Even ourselves. Like
yep.
Do you have songs that are diss tracks to people and they don't realize this is a diss track? Like, are the people the songs are about at your shows ever?
Per my lawyer would allow me to.
Yeah, you don't have to name them. Yeah, I'm not asking for you to. Yeah.
The right to not answer that question.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
Ah, here's a diss track about. Here's a song I wrote about myself that I just started. So it's called, Ready to Live. It's a work in progress. I don't know, like, if it's going to get finalized or not, but you know, you never know. It's about me being a bad driver.
Right on.
There you go.
Right on. You mentioned the stage presence too. So what is it about the stage presence that gives off that nerd vibe? Is it just like, just the way you guys dress or act, or is there something more to it than that?
It's partially the way we act, because whenever we, let's say, like, we're known for playing Sonic the Hedgehog covers, but sometimes, like, Scarlett would pull out a Sonic plushie and flail it around while she sings it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she also has, like, a hat with, like, Shadow the Hedgehog with, like, the ears and everything, and...
Well, we have the Hello Kitty guitar as well, like...
Oh, I mean, yeah.
That CRT TVs we brought up to with, was it Smash Bros. Melee in the background, too?
Oh, yeah.
Just
yeah.
As, like, a little stage decoration, so...
A friend of mine, Anaxis, once described our band as the most Gen V show they've ever been to.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that brings up another question then. I mean, do you play a lot of all-ages shows? Because I feel like a lot of those elements, I mean, you know, Gen Z and younger are not necessarily going to be going to bar shows. Obviously, older Gen Z kids are going to be able to. But I mean, my kids are, you know, teenagers, and Sonic the Hedgehog is a big deal with them too. And that hat you described, my oldest has the Shadow Toque. Like, I think it's probably the same one. So there's definitely an audience like of people who are, you know, under 18 who really like that stuff. Is that part of what you guys do as well? Is there opportunities for you to play all-ages shows just because of those elements?
Yes. Our EP release show is billed as an all-ages show.
Okay.
And I think our last few shows have been billed as all-ages, because the last Paramore cover set was all-ages too.
Is that something you do deliberately? Like, is it important to the band to be able to play to sort of whoever?
Not really. It was just lucky. Like, our last like few shows have been all-ages.
Yeah, we've... a lot of the shows that we play, we don't have a lot of power over, but someone asks us to come on the bill, and we love playing shows, so we say yes to a lot of them. And it's really fortunate that a good chunk of them have been all ages, especially the more like festival type ones.
Yeah.
Game Fest and Street Feast, which were both free and all age, like they're at the Forks. It's public, like it's a whole thing. You can go and listen. It's really nice, and it does kind of suck. Like, I do, I'm an older Gen Z, right? I'm 19, so I do know a lot of, like, I have a lot of friends who are turning 18 or like not sure. Quite 18 yet, so it would be nice to have them to come to shows. So it kind of sucks when they can't, but I'm really fortunate that our EP release is gonna be all ages, and I hope we can do more in the future, just because again, the nerd image, we have a lot of those pop culture references.
Yeah.
That all the younger kids would get, and hey, it's a good excuse to go see live music, engage in your community, get the younger crew going out, because, you know, COVID messed up a lot of opportunities to go out and develop yourself and learn who you are. So, yeah, fuel the flames of the local music community with all ages shows.
That's great. Yeah. No, yeah. All ages shows are fantastic. I feel like there used to be a lot more of them in the 90s, and then it sort of stopped for a while. And it's nice to see them coming back because, you know, for obvious reasons. I mean, there's so much great music that I think a lot of people my age and the older, and even some younger ones too, like, that got into the local music scene through all ages shows. I mean, I first started going to shows when I was in grade 7, and then, like, I'm glad that that is an option for a lot of kids now to do stuff like that. So it's definitely cool to see. With this EP release, what are the details on the show? I mean, you know, I'll definitely put them in the show notes and everything too, so people can find it there. But if someone's hearing about you for the first time and they're hearing this before the event happens and want to check you out, what should they do?
So just follow us on our social media on Instagram, TikTok, And sometimes Scarlett would post on Facebook. So, like,
we don't have a Reaper.
Oh, but like, whenever you post something like Soleil related on Scarlett Alexis, it like reposts.
Well, I post them on my Facebook.
Okay.
We don't have a Facebook.
But all our handles on every social media all around is Solaire WPG.
Okay.
Solaire as in the Dark Souls character, WPG as in Winnipeg.
Okay. And then what the show is happening when and where and who else is playing? I know we covered some of this beforehand, but it's always nice to plug it again.
Oh, we got you. February 7 at the Handsome Daughter with Second Floor Patients and the Ranger System, hosted by Realub.
Cool. And that, you know, one of the questions I always like to sort of, as I'm closing out the interview, is to ask where people can find your music, where they can follow you. You just answered that for me with all the social media stuff. But once this comes out, where can people find it? Well, where is it going to be released? Is it strictly digital? Or I think you mentioned CDs earlier, so there's clearly physical copies.
Yeah.
Where would you direct someone to find this find this music once it's released?
I direct them to Spotify, Apple Music, and Bandcamp. You can support us on Bandcamp, too.
For sure. Bandcamp's great, yeah. And we're on everything.
Try to have it on everything.
Right on.
I was going to do this thing where, like, whoever the first, like, 10 people who ordered on Bandcamp will get, like, a free CD.
Well, now you've said it. Now it's...
Now it's...
You may be held to that, I think, if someone hears this and wants to buy one, yeah. And, I mean, so this is, you know, it's a podcast. Hopefully people hear it when it comes out, which will be... The show will be imminent. The release will be happening soon. If someone hears it a year from now, 5 years from now, whatever, you mentioned the best ways to find you on social media, but do you have any shows coming up in the relative near future? It's not going to help the 5 years from now people, but maybe the 6 months from now people or a month from now. Do you have anything planned aside from the CD release, or is that sort of the big thing right now?
That's the big thing, but we do have other shows planned. We're planning, we have a show on April for Manitoba Music for their new music night.
Oh, cool.
It's going to double as my birthday show, so it'll be awesome.
Right on.
And hopefully at the end of summer, we're planning another cover set.
But not Paramore, or is it Paramore?
It's not Paramore.
Okay. I gather that it's a mystery based on the way you're sort of teasing
this. Don't say it.
I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to. We are going to tease it on our EP release show.
Oh, right on. That's cool. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Now, we have another show in December, but I'm not sure I'm allowed to say any details about that one.
Well, it's January now, so that's far enough in advance that I think you're probably good to just say it's happening and people can wait to find that out. Yeah, right on. Cool. Yeah. Hopefully people check out your CD and go to your show and you can expand. It would be nice to see, I mean, especially as someone who has no idea what J-Rock is coming into this, it's always nice to hear there's people doing different things. And I'm sure there is a huge community for that elsewhere. But I mean, it's always cool to see people trying new things in Winnipeg that maybe haven't existed in the local music scene. Because as much as I love going to hardcore shows, there's been 7 million hardcore bands, you know, over the past 35, 40 years. And it's great, but it's always cool to see some new stuff, especially if it fits into various sort of subgenres as well. And you can play with heavier bands, you can play with other stuff. So it's very cool to hear this is happening. And especially when it's younger people too, it's always nice to see that. So you're doing CDs, which is great because there's lots of dinosaurs like me who refuse to use streaming, and it's always cool to see. So
we got to keep that art form alive.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're doing it. Do you guys all listen to CDs or other physical media, or are you mostly streaming people?
My car doesn't have an aux cord, so I do bring CDs sometimes.
That's awesome.
I still have a Second Floor Patient CD in my car that's been in there for a good month at least now. So
that's
been spinning for a while.
Yeah, I like physical media. So I have my CD collection gathered from both of my parents and, of course, my own purchases, as well as some vinyls. If I'm just chilling in my room, I'll pop one on, listen to an album. But I do love streaming services as well, of course.
Well, that's fair,
The convenience is everything.
Cool. Well, yeah, I like the car thing. I am terrified to one day have to get a newer car that doesn't have a CD player. I think I would choose the older one instead. Mm-hmm. But no, it's always good to hear that people are still doing that, because it did feel for a while like almost everyone was sort of avoiding physical media in general, and because streaming was so convenient. But it seems like it's coming back a bit, and it's always nice to see. So do you want to plug the show one more time before I let you go?
Yeah, February 7 at the Handsome Daughter with Second Floor Patients and the Ranger System, all ages and sponsored by Realub.
And where can people get tickets? Is it just at the door, or are there advanced tickets?
You can get tickets at the door, but you can get them cheaper online or through Show Pass or Realub's website.
Awesome.
oh.